Podly-dum.
All the cycles. All the cycles.
Podcast.
Podly-dum.
Spelled backwards.
Leap. Dumb.
Podcast.
Leap. Dumb.
Pod.
Spelled backwards.
Pod.
Leap. Dumb.
Why, hello, and welcome to Podly-dum. That's Top Model Podcast, spelled backwards.
What?
I'm Lex Basile Price, and I've never had a boyfriend, so that kind of spices things up.
I'm Hannah Jane Ginsburg. And did you guys talk to the ranchers today? Did they give you guys a seminar of this place?
And I'm JW Crump, and all right, y'all, take your smell, take your pick.
And we're, of course, talking about Cycle 22, Episode 13, The Girl Who Took a Shot in the Dark. Really underselling that one.
But also everyone.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's, I hate all these titles always just refer to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I renamed it, stick with me, The Girl Who Goddess Regal Brand Women's Empowerment Initiative Selling Jewelry.
Not Adasa speaking through you.
And if you want to sell something, your money to us.
That's commerce, baby.
That's rainbow capitalism. You could cover spots of the podcast by looking at the show notes and clicking on the Clixel that Lex provides for you. That'll take you right to Spotify for podcasters. Podcasty. Hashtag tech.
And whatever. Who knows what it'll be next week? Who knows?
Podcasty /tech.
And you can sponsor us for as little as 99 cents a month. And as always, we appreciate all of our recurring sponsors. Some of you have been doing it for
a year plus.
And it's I mean, thank you so much for making this podcast not something that makes us lose money.
This digital art is, what a juxtaposition.
Uh-huh.
Where we get the three quotes. You look amazing, prettiest moment, and sweet and innocent, with the most aggressively blurred titties.
I also wrote titties. Full titty blur.
Why?
And the actual digital art that's worth noting is the Photoshopped crowd that they ping onto Mame when she calls herself the challenge queen.
Uh-huh.
Clip art queen.
The Tyra tip, she continues the threes of names. Maybe she's stalling for time.
Yeah, I think a lot of these are improvised.
She also says Mame's name wrong. She says, Mame, Mame, Mame.
Go into the next shoot and practice standing out.
Wow.
Great advice.
Spoiler alert for the rest of this episode. It's impossible. Tyra, this is an impossible task that she's created.
It's so often the Tyra tip doesn't actually apply to the next thing they'll be doing.
Yes.
Which there's a world where if the tie tip was something that was just to them,
uh-huh,
and
yes,
was
it
also
hinted at the next challenge.
This would, there's always a better way.
Yes.
Top Model's execution is always bad. The ideas are always fine.
The firstiest thought show.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know we haven't talked about decor in a while. Mm-hmm. And when we have, it's
luckily we're back. We didn't move.
Yeah.
We're in the bedroom and there are all these arrows pointing to something in the corner, and they're all pointing to the same thing. They're painted on the wall, and I don't know what it is.
This house is a mess.
What are all these arrows pointing at?
Speaking of the house, I think now's a good time to point out something that I realized when I was doing research after the fact for this episode. All of these stickers about, like, all sizes welcome.
View small, full.
Yep.
The tall order.
Now that Hadassah's gone, everyone's of the height requirement that Top Model normally required. Everyone is 5'8 or taller.
And when you see them all standing in a line, they mm-hmm. all look basically the same height.
Mm-hmm. It is now just 5'8 to 6'2, I believe.
Cool.
Because Hadassah was the only one that was still a short, and it was like 5'6 or something.
And it was never brought up.
Yep.
We're getting a lot of Mikey's tragic backstory, but sadly not in a way that makes you think he's going to go home.
That is maybe the sliciest thing you've ever said.
You literally
you chopped his head off.
That was the Paulina Poroskova twist.
The Poroskova twist. I love that ice dancing move.
But it's no, really please, hard. Hannah, they banned it in 89. He says something when he's talking about his life. And I like, this is the area that I've tried to give Mikey the most grace in.
Sure.
Where it is clear that he had a difficult time growing up, that he comes from a very mm-hmm. broken family. I don't want to take any of that away. But he says that he feels like he is the last person in his family that can really do something incredible. And I was like, that is wildly depressing in a super self-centered way.
Yeah. There's this weird thing of like, once you fuck up, you're done.
Yeah, that was my thing. Is he starts by saying, I'm pretty much the only male in my family not to be in or go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows a lot of like potential struggle in that household.
Yeah.
But to then say what y'all were just talking about, it really puts this... paints a picture of anyone who's ever been to prison that they can just never have a good life again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I get where it's coming from.
If you made a mistake, you are doomed to be a failure for the rest of your life.
It's just, I don't know. I also feel...
it's really bleak.
That he's putting a lot of pressure on himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that can't be healthy.
Then we get something very confusing that is cleared up a moment later. Because mm-hmm. we're talking that they've been told to brainstorm ideas, and I was like, what the fuck are they talking
Mikey
about?
Mikey brings this up, and this is, I thought I had missed something. I
Me
was
too.
Like, do I need to rewatch?
The show made us all feel that way.
Because yeah. then we see the context, which was after panel.
Not only is it the context, it's a Tyron that says after last week's panel.
That they are going to be entrepreneurs, and so they have to start thinking about their brand and things now, because production needs time to print things out.
Lex, are they going to be entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I feel like that was another word that was potentially used.
I
want to hear you say it
because
out loud,
every
Lex.
Single one of them could be a potential business owner.
Well, what's sure. weird too, before we get to the word that I refuse to say, it's wild to tell, not models yet, that you need to plan for when you're not a model anymore. They haven't won the show yet. Why are they planning their demise?
You're not a model, not yet a business owner.
She, and also this word that someone else is going to have to say.
I'll be happy
this is
to.
The hill?
Tyra can't say it.
No.
She doesn't yeah. say it correctly.
It's almost like when you come up with a word that's a Pormontu,
poor,
my most generous.
Poor
man's two.
A poor man's two.
Of fiercepreneur. Fiercepreneur.
That many hard R's are not supposed to be that close to each other.
That word is all E's and R's.
But the end of the sentence where that's introduced, I think, is even crazier somehow. Because she says, you are now my fiercepreneurs, and you are going to brainstorm an idea that you can bring to market.
As though they're little piggies.
In the great market we call life.
But also, the rest of this is going to be framed as two things. A satire of Shark Tank,
uh-huh.
which I'm a hyper fan of and I can't wait to discuss. And also, that this is a real business.
Yep.
That they're going to get seed money and actually make this happen.
That's going to change your life.
Change your life.
And I'm like, maybe you could say winning the money for the whole show could change your life, but yeah. I do not think this prize is going to change your life.
No.
No. Or start a business that manufactures things.
Yeah, it could start a product on Etsy at best.
Kelly arrives at the house and describes it as pretty banging.
She's waiting in the living room for them to be unprisoned from upstairs.
Yeah.
I love, though, that Devin is forcing Kelly to like him. Not uh-huh. since Annalise
yep.
have we seen someone master the art
mm-hmm.
of convincing Kelly that she likes them.
Because no,
Devin popping
he
down
wins.
And going, hey, Kelly, welcome to our house.
He wins America's Next Top Kelly Manager.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. He just has her number and disarms her without trying, or makes it seem easy. Uh-oh.
If she is Kel on Earth, he is Devin Heaven. It is the opposite.
Devin Heaven.
Devin sent.
Devin sent!
Well, hold on. Hold on. Hannah, you needed to work for Devin.
I know.
There yeah, is,
for real.
There is so
he
much.
He smells like feelings, you guys.
There is so much shit on this table.
This oh, here's the list Lacey gives us. Poster boards, markers, tank tops.
Foam finger, Argyle socks, tracing paper, Sharpies.
Jewelry.
Stand.
I do like that they got tracing paper. Not enough people use that.
Cricut cutter, ink and quill, talk boy, belts, pipettes.
It's everything they used on last week's photo shoot.
Tax boxes.
I will say this. They got a lot of supplies. They yes. could truly do almost anything they wanted.
And Kelly tells them that they will be pitching to Tyra, Kelly, and some hugely successful entrepreneurs.
Which made me think she was leaving Jay out on purpose until I realized that she wasn't.
Also, you'll notice, like, maybe this is a new sponsor for the season. Oh. Because behind Kelly is a screen that just says Oppo. And I don't know if we've heard of Oppo before.
And they're going to have to use Panopo and Dopo Expopo to include in their Presipopo.
I know more about Oppo than I know about some members of my family. And then if they win, they're going to win. And this is a nice prize. It's just framed really weird. $2,500. But it's toward launching this business.
It makes it feel like the money's not real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's contingent on something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're told they have 4 hours to craft.
Oh, I totally missed that because I was like, how long did they get to
four hours?
They did get 4 hours, which is... They actually had time.
But they also
to
have
stuff.
To come up with a whole product.
Yes, but also they've already come up with the product because they because they have printed out signs.
I guess that's why they provided tank tops and socks. They knew enough that they would be needed. Yeah.
Lacey did have a printed out thing. If it wasn't for Lacey's, I don't know if I would have believed that. But Lacey's thing was Mame clearly pre-made.
Mame
and Mikey did too.
But if you told me Mame had the steady hand of someone who could make it look printed, I would believe you. She probably got that quill.
That was for her. Yeah, for sure.
And really what I took away from this prep time was Mikey spent all of it in the pool.
Him calling someone else lazy on this challenge.
And also, we have a clip of Devin eating a chip.
Yeah, it was 4 hours.
Sorry, the blood sugar ran low at some point.
Also, the number of people that Mikey thinks Mikey has supported.
Oh my god.
They've taken everything from me. I have to look out for Mikey now.
Sucked dry, all my support. But then he says a Top Model Classic bleeped out phrase that I don't know what the curse word would
be. No idea.
Because he says, all I try to do is support bleep. Support shit?
Shit.
What does that mean?
Everybody's cussing this episode, though. Uh-huh. This is a cussing house.
No, you sounded like Lacey. Aaron cussing.
This is a cussing house.
Cussing house.
I am so sad that Hadassah is not here for this insanity. What would that product have been? Would it just been I'm crowning?
Yes, it would have been I'm crowning. She would have had a plan for distributing books, Lacey.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Kelly here to ask real business questions sometimes.
Sometimes. It's camp.
Such camp.
Because these other two guests take this too seriously. In a good way.
Tyra and Kelly are flanked by two identical blonde women who White only women. Have a difference when they open their mouths. The first is Allie Webb, the CEO of Drybar, which is a real thing.
Yeah, that's a real
a big
person
name too.
You would want to impress who, in yeah. business.
Who was on Shark Tank and recently, her most recent endeavor was a massage service with an associated app called Squeeze.
Squeeze.
What's
fun thing about
Drybar though,
for me is that she is the CEO, but she was also the founder.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, why not say CEO and founder, which to me is such a bigger
thing. I agree. Yeah. The fun thing about Drybar is all the hairstyles you can go in for are cocktail names.
Yeah. It's fun. I've been in one before. They're cool.
Yeah.
Then the other person.
I love her.
Is Marie-Pierre Saint-Hilaire, and it's all dashed.
All dashed. All hyphens.
All of it.
Oops, all hyphens.
And she's the CEO of AFI Expertise, Tyra's best friend.
the way the casual lore dropped from Tyra, and also just my best friend.
And then the way that Tyra does not know what her best friend's business is.
Well, because her business is an MLM.
Yep.
Yeah.
Marie-Pierre St.
This was like a current best friend that was advising and consulting for this Tyra Beauty.
Well, so Marie-Pierre St. Hilaire went to Harvard Business School. My conspiracy theory is she was either a teacher or mentor during the week's process.
Absolutely. I assume the same thing.
That for she sure. Is, yeah. And they're now she's her business consultant because she is
her best business friend.
Yes. She is the president of AFIU. She is the president of a fake college in Quebec that specializes in nothing. You can't find anything about this woman. They call it the
Interestingly, you can find pictures of her and Tyra hanging out. They are few, but they do exist.
Does it have anything to do with the one professional picture we got of her where she's sitting in front of a pink satin headboard?
No, but I wish.
Making the craziest face a person has ever made.
It's all about teaching skills to reskill, but you have to go to this university and all the pictures on the page are stock photography. One includes a woman on a treadmill running in front of a giant phone with an app on it.
Yeah, it seems like Masterclass, but a scam.
Yes.
Well, and Tyra's description of it makes it sound like that, because she's like, she can teach you to do anything. And you're just like, what does that mean, though?
Yeah, she's the CEO of Edgenda. Education Agenda. Edgenda. Hate.
Now,
Edgenda.
Edgenda.
I'll say this, though. Allie and Marie-Pierre St. Hilaire in this episode are so funny to me because Tyra and Kelly say such nonsense and the two of them try to take it so real and ask actual questions.
I feel like maybe I'm giving them too much benefit. I don't think this was the winner they would have picked.
Nope.
No.
I don't think so too. I think Allie would have picked a very different person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, the entire time I was like, I want Allie to be, maybe she was, honestly. I've watched a lot of Shark Tank. Allie Webb seems like an actual person who would be on Shark Tank.
She was, right?
She was. She was on season 10. Yeah.
Great. See, it makes sense. Like, and here's the thing. If you've never seen Shark Tank, it's a very simple premise. Entrepreneurs usually already have a business going, which is different.
Lisa D'Amato was on Shark Tank.
And that's so funny. I didn't even remember that. You're solely right.
Yep.
They come in. They're like, here's my business. Here's how it's been going. Here's the dollars. I want this much investment for this much equity.
It's usually a moving up a level kind of business. Yeah.
But you are established already.
It's very rare to get someone who's barely established. And when it is, it's like kind of a surprise. Like, oh my gosh, you're actually not in business yet. And I love it because I actually think that despite all the TV production, you learn some basic business stuff. Which is nice. How, and some actual businesses,
the have come
daddy
from it.
Being the most famous, have come from it. Now, what's so funny about this is that only one person gets asked anything about numbers. And they clearly just, that person we'll talk about comes up with them on the fly because who knows? Like, there's, were we supposed to do that?
No one was supposed to do that.
They didn't have 4 hours to construct a business plan out of pipe cleaners.
But how?
They had to take Dopos and Panopos, yeah.
But how did they get music that sounds so close to the Shark Tank theme song without getting sued? Because if you told me this was a real clip from the show, this music, I've never heard Top Model parody something so well, just musically.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, you put all of this together, and it comes across like a very mature 8-year-old wanted a Shark Tank-themed birthday party.
Yep. Yep, it sure does. Or like, this is how I should get a dog.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, if someone did that to me, I'd be so enchanted.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell y'all about the time I staged a protest in my house?
No.
Okay. I don't know where I learned about striking from a young age.
Newsies? Norma
Ray.
Huh? Yes. Probably all of those things. So there was one time where my mom wouldn't let me go to the video arcade. Mm. And I was done. And so I went to my room, locked the door, I made a bunch of protest signs, complete with sticks.
Good.
And then all
Why'd of you have my... all those sticks in your room?
I was a craft kid.
There you go.
I honestly had tons of pipe cleaners, tons of stuff, tons of papers. I put them in my action figures' hands and also made a big one for me. And then I put them in like a tractory thing. I had this like red wagon thing and marched them up and down the hallway chanting. I was one person.
How old?
Chanting. I was like 6 or 7. Right. I was very young. And I went back and forth and my mom was like, and she just ended up taking me. And I was like, wow, unionizing really works. She was like, you put so much effort. Years later, she still talks about it. She was like, you put so much effort into it. I was just
She was rewarding the effort.
It is really funny to like become a parent and discover those moments of, I didn't want to give you this, but you worked so hard, or you found such a good way to ask me that I have to give it to you. Like, I just have to.
Got
to
give him the win.
Mine is not as fun. It was just me when I would get annoyed going on a hunger strike. That's not going to last very long for me.
But here's the thing about all of this is that if you know anything about Shark Tank, and actually, can we do a poll, Lex?
Sure.
Can we do a poll?
Yeah.
I would love to hear just one of three things. Big fan of Shark Tank, sometimes watch it, never watch it. Because I want to know if the top model Shark Tank fans.
Stan fan or Nan?
Yep.
Yeah.
Stan fan or Nan?
I'm a Nan.
Yep.
I've seen the occasional clip, but I've never watched a full episode.
So one thing I'll let you know, Hannah, is there are 5 businesses that they hate that barely ever get investments. Mm. And literally, it's the 5 that they do. They hate apps.
Sure.
They hate jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
They hate clothing.
Mm-hmm.
They hate books. Books are one of the worst things for them to
books
do.
I can see why.
Books isn't a business plan. Can it's we a just say it's that?
Technically.
Books is not a business plan. Especially a book. A singular book.
And they hate fragrance. Weirdly, the fragrance is probably the one that they'd be most likely to get into because it'll have the most SKUs. And usually there's someone who can like figure it out. Weirdly, I think there's a world where Devin wins this if he was good at all.
Mm.
So Mikey is up first.
Tyra is wearing her serious business outfit of a low cut black dress over a white button down shirt.
He brings in talks. Inspired by the lifestyle of Mikey.
His accoutrements include 2 semi-tie-dyed poster boards. One of them has 4 individual non-matching socks tacked to it.
Mm-hmm.
The other one has... This is not a man who should be allowed to write on a poster. He should have asked someone else to do this for him. Even I can write better on a poster than this. But it
was
says,
so bad that it felt like a choice.
Yes. Not sure how your day will end, but I know how it will start with Tox.
And then in the slide, he misspells no idea as no idea, K-N-O-W.
Yep.
One of the tank tops looks cum splattered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Tyra says of the hurricane-strewn clothes photo, that's good photography. What are you talking about?
And here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen the episode, listener, and you're confused, you're like, well, what is Tox? It's literally just a clothing brand who makes 2 items, tank tops and socks.
But it doesn't. It actually makes tank tops and panties eventually.
Well, it doesn't do anything now.
Well, the business plan that Mikey has is to not pay friends no or little money to make art for him to put on tank tops.
But he doesn't win the challenge until he says,
Yeah,
my idea also was inspired by Zappos.
And Tony gave us that book.
When
and
he wins.
And look, it was smart. It was so smart to be like, that thing you gave us, Tyra, that beautiful gift of that book from Tony.
It was smart. But before that, they are acting like this presentation is good.
That's my thing. It was super smart. And if it had like saved him from the middle, I would have been down for it.
Sure.
Because he's so lackluster in his presentation the entire time. He's giving nothing.
When Tyra's like, ooh, I love this logo. The T has a tank top. It looks like a child made this. It's so sad.
And once again, if he were projecting enthusiasm, I'll forgive people's drawing skills.
Sure.
Because whatever. A lot
You're
of
in a modeling competition. Why would you have to draw? I get it.
It's just.
But why? Like, why are you so unenthused and casual in your presentation?
because he knows how to work older women.
He does.
He is cougar bait.
And then we get emotions.
Which I didn't think was the name first, because
I didn't think it either. I thought it was the three emotions that he listed.
Yes.
Because he has Crazy Sexy Cool, the fragrance by Devin LGC, which I thought stood for Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, earlier you thought it was OJ, and you were like, why was it OJ? I was actually very happy that's LJ.
Emotions, the fragrance by Devin LJ Clark.
And all photos are of Niall.
Just shirtless Niall.
Hey, that's how I'd sell something.
And then he does a thing that you do in Shark Tank where you give them the product. But then in my head, I was like, did you make perfume?
Yes.
They say it smells strong. So he did something.
He did. And also,
where did he get those tools?
What's wild is they provided him spritzers and scent sticks, but he brings over the full bottles.
Tyra says to him, a perfume called Emotions has nothing to do with who you are as a brand. And respectfully, I disagree.
Also, he steals the Tyra Beauty eye for his logo.
Uh-huh.
This is an amazing moment, though, for Kelly, where he goes, my brand is me. I have hazel eyes. And she goes, that eye is not hazel. He's like, ah, well.
He almost just says, touche.
Yeah. It's fully yellow. It's like a yellow eye.
What's funny, though, is at the end, they kind of get charmed by him, mm-hmm. because Devin's just unflappable, no matter and how fun. Bad this is.
But the best moment is Lacey's impression of Devin that is spot on.
This is what I'm saying.
Perfect.
Pissy Lacey slipping out under the edges. It makes me so happy.
And then Niall won't be outdone, because he says, I knew he would screw everything up.
Devin has lucked out to stay in the competition as long as he has.
Because Niall figured out it wasn't going to go well when Devin was like, can I just take a dozen pictures of you?
Lacey.
Lacey. Please, I would love to.
Please.
Lacey Claire, which almost feels like it's not her name.
It sounds like a pen name.
Yep. She's going to just publish a book called Small Town Girl, Surviving the Real World.
This title is so long. And also, the way the poster is, it looks like they messed up and she had to put a sticker on it.
Yep.
It does.
I think she did change it. I think she really did change it.
But I will say, you know what book she's emulating, because it reminded me of all the books that were marketed to our age group when we were in middle school that were specifically about Christian girls dying of cancer.
Yeah.
Because it has three proverbs on the poster.
Mm-hmm.
Strength and dignity in her clothing, and she laughs at the days to come. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. It's kind of crazy in a modeling competition to be like, beauty is vain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a world where if she had pitched this as like a book series, this could have been a little bit more of a thing.
But then she says that her plan is to sell it in coffee shops in her small town.
Okay. I'm going to be a little fair to Lacey and say, when Kelly asks a distribution question, I was like, where was this for Mikey? How is Mikey distributing tank tops to the greater Hollywood, Florida area?
And then she is cute when they're like, just that? That's not going to sustain you. She goes, okay, I'll shoot big. Let's go for the nation. And you can hear everyone laugh, and they cut it out.
Yep.
Because and what's weird is that the scores later are going to show that they really like Lacey. But for some reason, we edit out her being good at anything. They do like her pictures, though. And I do think she did one of the best OPPO picture-in-picture. What's it called? Double exposure?
Dopo exposure, yeah.
I do think I understand what Tyra is trying to say. But to tell someone, when writing an autobiography, don't start from the beginning.
As if Tyra is a pro at writing books.
What's great is Lacey's trying to like parse this together. She's like, oh, you got to grab him with a hook. And Tyra's like, that is what I said, sort of.
Oh, definitely what I said.
And then someone next to Tyra, I don't know who.
Marie Perez, SAT.
No, was that in an accent? I didn't hear the accent. Because someone just goes, Oh, that's a good point, actually.
Oh, then it was probably Kelly.
Kelly is kind of aghast at how bad everyone is, which is kind of funny.
Niall comes up with a product that is too good for this challenge.
Correct.
Niall makes a proof of concept.
Yes. It's so good. It's such a good presentation.
Here's a question. What was blurred out of the poster?
I don't know.
More cussing.
Because his product's called, it's an app for learning ASL, and it's called Sign That, because Niall says that sign people that. Always ask me, how do you sign that?
Sign that. Sign that. If you want to learn ASL, sign that. Uh-huh.
It's so well done. And then...
his videos are so cute.
Also, once again, these women are just sexualizing him at work.
Yeah, which is crazy when you're the only person who walks in with a good idea.
And then he's the only one that's asked about money.
That's the thing that kills me.
Insane.
Maybe, if I'm believing the editing, he casually says that he thinks he would charge $2 to download the app. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, well... you'd need a lot more startup money than $2,500. Well,
they ask him how much money it would take to fund it. And I think he thinks that Kelly is specifically asking about just the app.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he gives a number that I think probably makes sense for just developing the app. And she goes, no, that's not even your PR budget. I was like, since when is anybody getting asked about a PR budget? This is the only idea you could ask that about because it's the only real one.
Real one.
And it's so weird that Niall actually has to do Shark Tank without any prep. Like, he's getting actual Shark Tank level
and
questions.
He's doing a good professional presentation.
Yeah.
Also, since when do apps need a publicist?
Since when does most things need a publicist?
Well, I mean, look, there'll be a marketing budget. I wouldn't call it a publicist.
No, but it's all because Kelly constantly tries to make herself important in places. Yes.
Essential.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. Niall had the best one. He should have won.
Yes.
It's an actual good idea and product that is specific to him as a person.
Mm-hmm. And it's his brand.
And I can't get over the proof of concept. He actually made the sample videos. So smart. The one thing our boy can't do is make a poster.
No.
That was... like, only Mikey's were worse, because at least I could read Niall's, but I was like, he literally put sign that on a poster and was like, that's it.
And then the little logo looked like the NBC, The More You Know, but like much too small for the poster.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because he so clearly should have won that it's insane.
And then we have Mame and her business of Goddess Tribe, Yerk.
Question for you. Uh-huh. What actually happened here? Why did she get this nervous?
I don't think she had a real idea.
I think there's no idea.
I think she was like, I'm just going to go in there and talk about women and empowerment and jewelry. Because I'm poised and good at extemporaneous speaking, I'm going to be fine. But she didn't actually think about what this business would be.
This was just buzzwords that she thought Tyra would like.
Which, hey, not the worst strategy, but at least come up with a basic concept.
But the concept she comes up with is a resale pyramid scheme of exploiting poor women.
Yeah, specifically rich women exploiting poor women.
Yeah, and I really didn't like it when she says that they can sell it on our platform instead of out of their shacks and in the streets.
This was, so crazy. Oh, but don't worry, we call you goddesses, so it's fine.
Although I am surprised that Tyra wasn't like, exploitative MLM, you say. Well,
and then Kelly, there's something really off-putting about this. You're selling a product to women, and we're women, and you didn't sell it to us, women. It was just very like, she clearly failed. She knew she failed.
Yes.
What is this energy?
And again, I think there's a way to say that, like, hey,
yes,
you unfortunately didn't sell this to us. And based on the product and the presentation, we should be your core audience.
Right.
Yes.
But it's through the...
we're middle-aged jewelry-loving ladies.
We love... We're all... and I will include Tyra. We're all white women. We love exploiting poor people.
This is a kind of challenge that I miss having the energy of Anne Choquette to be here. To be like, well, what I liked was.
Yes.
I did like Allie Webb being like, just saying jewelry is not a business.
I'm sorry.
Like, Allie was just confused. She was like, I'm really confused about what's
going on. I'm worried about you.
And then Marie Paris Saint-Hilaire is like, oh, I bet I could teach these.
A spot-on impression.
French Canadians are wild, y'all.
We talked about the sexualizing Niall. I did like that Allie was the only one that was trying to taper it down. And she's like, well, you are nice to look at, and that might be, make you a good face to look at.
And then like, the others were just like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, blah. Sacre bleu, you're hot. So I knew Mikey would win this, but I was
Niall still, didn't.
Nope.
Niall I was still annoyed.
Niall is shocked. I can't imagine. Amused.
I cannot imagine how Niall made it through this episode without completely cracking.
Yeah, he's punished because his product is too good, and he's punished way more than he should have been.
This is where the episode just becomes, oh, we're going to bully Niall this week.
See if he can take it.
We're never going to say out loud that it's his fault, but we are going to intensely imply it.
Also, Tyra gets Mikey's product name wrong. She calls it TikToks.
Yep.
And then Mikey has to sign his own giant check.
Why was this check erased so much? Why was there so much? Who had a problem writing it and then didn't clean it with cleaner, dry erase Mikey, or cleaner?
I bet Mikey needed a couple tries because he's so bad at writing on big boards.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. This was a business for 5 months. And it sold two tank tops with one logo. It's the same logo. It's the girl with the hair and the socks that's like a starfish that was on the poster.
Sure.
And panties. But Niall.
Wait. Before you finish this, I'm so sorry. It's not active anymore, but there was a Tox Apparel Etsy store.
Mm-hmm.
The page is still up, even though it is not active, with a full Mikey shirtless photo as the contact shop owner photo.
Yep.
Guess he used that seed money.
And because this is an inactive Etsy page, I can tell you that they made 58 sales.
Good for them. Whatever.
There's also an Instagram where one of them, the pictures, is the picture from the top model. Mm-hmm. And then the most recent photo is a screenshot of another photo that is about side boob. But it says side book. But Niall didn't make sign that, but did join around the time that this appeared on TV. It was actually the day after he joined it as a signer. An ASL app developed by Deaf Digits, which is a deaf-owned and deaf-run company. And it basically is this kind of. And then also had an additional app called ASL Stickers with Niall, where he would basically do the sign that you could then send through text.
That's cool. That's a fun idea. I've never even heard of one that an app that did that.
Yeah.
There's some really fun things specifically about Niall when you read about his involvement on the app. Because the app it offers basic packages and then you have to pay for things that are more specific. But I'm sorry, this is so cute. Obviously, Niall was a selling point. They had some free samplers that he did. But my favorite is celebrations. Niall loves holidays and celebrations, especially Halloween and Valentine's. He will teach you how to be festive in ASL.
Who likes so Valentine's cute. Day?
Oh, you knew they were doing that. So you'd be like, because he's your boyfriend.
Mm.
Yeah. I believe he's a Halloween goofball.
That's true.
You know Niall's going in a group costume.
So they're told that they're going to be going into the woods for the next photo shoot.
Pack warm for your next high fashion photo shoot. It will be fun.
And
it will be.
Will
and
be.
Fierce. Fierce-preneur.
And then we get the challenge scores.
Oh my God.
Which look, you knew Mikey was going to get a 10, even though I don't feel like the win was deserved. But then... And I need the footage to back this up.
Yes.
Lacey gets a 9 in second place.
A business. It was barely a book.
Sure, but they edited it in a way that made you think she bombed, and apparently she didn't.
No.
But also, even if she didn't bomb, which I believe the show, how did she possibly do better than Niall?
But that's the thing, too, is it's so confusing, because Niall gets an 8, Mame 7, Devin 6.
Mame gets a... How does Mame get a 7?
For that?
She couldn't speak.
For Bibble Babble?
Even Devin's was more charming, I thought.
Yes.
But Niall, was Niall's worse than what we saw? Because we only saw good.
I don't.
And also, he seemed very surprised and pissed.
Yes.
Speaking of surprised, Mame said, I thought I'd at least get an 8.
Why?
And then Lacey also finds it sus, despite getting second, because she's like, how is it 10, 9, 8, 7, 6?
Welcome to this beautiful woodsy campground.
No name this... campground, please.
This is where we discover that Niall is the Lex of the group, because everybody else is wearing coats and Niall's wearing shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stop asking me if I'm cold, where I'm from, I'm going to catch a cold. Guy selling comedy tickets, don't need it. Cab driver who tells me their whole fucking life story, don't need it.
Just let them wear shorts in the cold woods.
Here's how you compliment, because I'm also a constant shorts wearer. And I was in a coffee shop, and two nice older ladies said, hey, I just wanted to say something about your shorts. And I was getting ready, because I get the same feedback. Uh-huh. And they're like, I understand why you wear them, because you have great legs. And I was like, wait.
No,
I was
thank
disarmed.
You?
Thanks. And they said, you must be a runner. And I said, no.
There's flirting / negging more between Mame and Mikey.
So we discover that a photo shoot concept exists, but we don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
Then we're introduced to a cabin that is so clearly a luxury cabin with the heat turned off.
And the furniture removed.
Gone.
Yeah. Apparently but just a pile of candles.
It's so nice.
The inside is nice.
There's this huge fireplace.
They turn off the power.
If they would have just turned the heat on, it would have been great.
There's lights. They don't let them have lights on.
Nope.
It's so silly. It's honestly nicer than where they stayed in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
This is also where we find out that Lacey and Niall have been cuddling. But only cuddling.
And Devin's pissed about it.
Yeah. I do love that Devin's always our, like, Cupid who's just telling us who's hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my ideal reality TV relationship is dress cuddles.
Yeah. It's nice to have human connection when you're away from your support system.
Yes. Colleagues and they're both cuddling at night. Keep
and they're
very
both
separate.
Young and I think single. So it's like, who cares? Not that if you're old and single, you can't cuddle.
No, I say
I just meant
can't.
Like in a fun way. Young and single.
We get...
I'm young, I'm dumb, and I'm ready to cuddle.
We begin Usai's best look. We go and make s'mores with Usai, where we learn he was a former biologist. This can't be real.
Who loved being in the field?
I actually think it is real because Usai is so humanized, so late in the game.
When someone says, does anyone play the guitar? And he goes, kinda.
Yeah, I do a little.
And he really does seem like he is recharged and calmed by being in trees.
Yeah. And then does the best acting we've ever seen from someone on this show. This super casual ghost story goes so well.
The acting was good. The content of the story itself.
Oh, the,
it was like,
the story. The
I wouldn't call Usai a master of horror.
No.
For the immortal line. But they couldn't find this dude.
I don't know. There was something charming about his just like delivery.
It felt like a real story. It felt like a real story that someone half remembered.
I did also think it was very funny that he referred to a tale of camping murder as an urban legend.
Everything's an urban legend if one city person has told the story.
And this is where we learn.
Oh my God, I've been dreading it all cycle.
That they are going to be modeling in the dark.
And Lex and I mentioned this earlier before this episode. Both they and I thought that this happened in a box for some reason.
In a room.
Yeah.
No, I fully remember that it was outdoors. But I did not remember that they would have added danger of standing on tiny box on forest floor.
That is maybe unstable. That's truly where our brains reflex.
Maybe. We are reintroduced, kind of, to Francis Liberin, who did the Hello Kitty couture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had to look it up. Didn't remember the name.
No. They recently,
it's just nice to have a guest, though.
Yeah.
Just anyone.
They got married in the Philippines to their partner, Christian Mark Jacobs, is the person's real name.
But not...
No.
You don't just want to go by Christian Jacobs?
Christian Mark Jacobs, who his brand is The Naked Foodie. Hmm. He's not naked.
Is he a foodie?
Is it like raw stuff?
Is it so Anthony? It's like, he's neither naked nor a foodie.
Yeah, he's neither naked. He's owner of Naked Patisserie. He's a like a blogger. They got married in the Philippines and people were angry because, you know, religion can hurt people.
Gotcha.
There is a quote in this article from one of their like haters, because they were like, yeah, okay, we knew these like super religious people were going to hate this in a country that doesn't allow same-sex marriage. But this quote sent me. That's not love. That's homosexuality. Homosexuality isn't love at all.
What, has that person been to the Eagle?
But he seemed nice.
Yeah. This, I don't understand what the show thought it was doing with this photo shoot. Why did nobody stop this? Did they really think it was a good idea?
I don't know, but... Also, Mame was flirting with the designer because she seems desperate because of her scar.
Well, I should talk to someone who isn't Mikey.
Well, sure. Yeah, this is a terrible idea that only... Is it OSHA violation for everyone?
Yes. So dangerous.
And Devin exhibiting how it's dangerous.
Yeah, Devin almost gets actually hurt.
Also, why can't they just be told where the camera is in advance?
Why is
Devin keeps
secret?
Asking, where's Eric? Where's Eric? And Yusai is like, just listen to my voice. And I'm like, he doesn't know what that means.
Yes. Niall does drop something that I did want to address. He said that, well, it doesn't matter. I almost feel like they included this to be like, see, Niall was cool.
Yes.
That's what it felt like.
100%.
Deaf individuals see better. And there's been research done. It's not... They have found that deaf individuals... track movement better, but their eyesight could either be worse or better, like everyone in the world.
It's an individual thing.
Yeah.
I think it's one of our most long-standing myths, though, is if another sense of yours in the classic five senses is less than the typical average person, the other ones are heightened.
And then we learned we were wrong when we all got COVID and couldn't taste anything.
Yeah. Oh, I could see for miles then. I took on my contacts, didn't you know?
You were smiling and seeing for miles.
All you gotta do is watch one blindfold taste test.
Yeah, in fact, I think they get worse. I do think the clothes are cool. And I actually think that some of the end result photography is cool, but you could have done all this without it being pitch black.
It's so unnecessary. And they don't have a plan for Niall.
No, Yusai has to come up with a plan.
On the fly.
And I give him credit. He tried a lot of things. It felt like he was trying to make this.
I mean, he was trying. It didn't help that he immediately fucked up the system.
Well, sure.
And they just never... What they really needed to do was establish what the count meant. Because it was actually a count of four. It's one, two, three, go on four.
Yeah.
Well, he also was blinking, double blinking light. Yeah. And... It just, I don't blame Yusai. I think
no, because he's the only one who's trying.
Eric didn't give two shits about what's happening.
I'm sorry, was that Eric Asla or a Asla-shaped pillow?
Couldn't care less.
Nope.
Now, the person that actually gets harmed is Devin. This exchange is very funny to me at first, where they go, someone help the model up. No one does anything. And Yusai goes, thank you. Because he can't see if they're helping. So he's like, got it. And then someone knocks it with the fabric, because the fabric's being like moved by people.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, a C-stand is down. There's a hazard. And then
he literally
Devin...
says, there's safety issues, guys. Like, it feels like Yusai is trying to stop this photo shoot constantly while it's happening.
Yeah. And then Devin falls off the box. It looks painful, truly. I feel bad for him.
It's not stable.
You just also, again, this all could have also been slightly better without the box. It would have still been.
You don't need it.
It would have still been crappy for Niall, but at least it wouldn't have been a safety concern.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another nice moment of Yusai that gets immediately eliminated. But he does a light check for Mame and realizes they need more because of her skin tone. Yes. And it was nice to see a photographer or any kind of person on set, like
professional,
a professional adjust for a deeper skin tone, because that never happens.
And the show's not always had a great history. It's had an inconsistent history, yes. I should say. It feels very photographer by photographer.
It's also in the middle of the night. They started at 12:30 and they ended at 2:45.
And you see Niall give up.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
To the point that the last frame, Niall doesn't even take a photo.
Mm-mm.
It's actually sad to watch.
Yeah.
It is. It's also sad to see how few people notice.
Mm-hmm.
Only Lacey seems to recognize what a terrible experience this was for Niall.
Also, nice thing about Lacey is now in her confessionals, especially when she's talking about Niall, she's starting to use ASL to talk to the producers about Niall, which I think is just, it's telling of how much she's attempting to have a form of communication with him consistently.
It's also just a very classy way of thinking, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, if I'm talking about him, he should be able to
hear me.
Yes. I didn't even consider that perspective, but absolutely.
Yeah. And then the walking embodiment of date rape.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey is one of the most, and we talk about it all the time, one of the most disgusting men.
I know when a woman wants me.
And this is his last chance to bag Mame.
And then they all get to the cabin. It's cold. Lacey and I are immediately like, we're going to cut, like ASL like, furiously. This. Can we cuddle? Yeah. We're so cold.
This corner. And then,
yep.
And then the only funny part of this is Devin sitting up with a flashlight, just like everyone else is cuddling, and Devin's just like, I'm not going to bed. There's a ghost in these woods.
But brought that half a bottle of white, like a smart little baby. I was like, I am Devin. Devin is me. This is exactly what I would do if I were forced to camp. No heat. Surrounded by annoying strays.
I'm going to say it. Mame and Mikey are not cuddling. They are fooling around. There's something happening. You don't cuddle face to face. Gross.
There's a lot of movement also.
Well, and then both of them have like an exit speech about the cuddling. Mame
Lacey drops for us that Mame and Justin are an official couple.
And then Mame says that nothing really happened and Justin is the one.
Well, Mikey's definitely not the one. I'm like, nobody's one.
And then Mikey says to Justin,
this is the weirdest thing.
If she's sitting next to you right now, Mame, run! I don't understand what that means.
It's implying that Justin would attack Mame.
And that he would be justified for doing so.
Because what they did...
Oh!
Yes.
It was so poorly said that I didn't even get it.
Uh-huh.
But now I see what you're saying. You're saying that Mikey is saying that this is in real time, Justin and Mame
watching the show together.
Yeah. Justin discovering that Mame cheated on him.
And you need to run because Justin's going to get you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a Mikey joke.
Inspired
by Mikey.
The best part was Devin furiously leaving the house as soon as he was allowed.
I adore this.
I am Devin. Devin Bolts. Is me.
You know how every other episode this cycle, it feels like they've tried to character destroy someone before they leave the show. Devin's this is the best episode for Devin.
Yes.
I love Devin the last two episodes.
Yeah.
Well, uncoupling from Mikey really did a lot for Devin as a reality TV character.
Changed them, truly. Mm-hmm.
And then there were Cinco. Why?
Kelly has the single limp braid.
Of business.
And Tyra is wearing Beetlejuice's outfit that doesn't fit her.
I will give her that I thought the makeup was pretty.
The makeup and hair on this look was good.
Yeah.
She did a smoky gray eye that I thought was like an actual pretty smoky eye.
Yeah.
Tyra is also trying really hard to sell this photo shoot as Niall looks absolutely pissed.
He is holding on to so much. I truly like trying to imagine being in that room, preparing yourself for what's about to happen, knowing that you can't be as angry as you are 100% justified in being.
And I do appreciate that when it happens, we do get a pretty unedited explanation of Niall explaining why this was so difficult. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, Tyra's like, got it. Here's your photo.
And just by saying the facts, being like, so this is your fault because you didn't have a plan for me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm glad they at least left that in.
Lacey's first.
Wearing a bridesmaid's dress. A very tacky bridesmaid's dress.
I will say, though, the outfit that she was wearing in her Fiercepreneur was her best outfit
yes,
ever.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
It's, she takes to like an Annie Hall look really well.
Yeah, yeah, sure. She's just, she needs to be more Stacy from the Babysitter's Club. Yes. And she's trying to be Claudia. I just don't think that's her.
None of us are that cool.
None of us.
For some reason, the photos start in black and white because that's in the dark. Uh-huh. And then turn to color.
Honestly, I truly believe that that is Tyra's understanding of light.
Yeah. See, now you could see stuff. It was just in black and white, right?
This photo is the vampire.
Yes.
Yeah. Part of that's the makeup.
Yes.
And the red dress.
Yeah.
And the contacts.
Now, what I really like about this is I love that this looks like the moment that she flipped this up.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, bam. If it truly wasn't for the left arm, which Tyra does say is just too far up.
Yeah.
I think this is great.
And then Jay serves it to Kelly.
Uh-huh. Kelly starts talking about how it just looks flamenco, which apparently this time Kelly likes.
It's good.
And then Miss Jay's like, I'm probably getting fired soon. Why not do a bit? A bit that just interrupts.
Over Kelly talking, just starts stamping their foot.
And then Tyra saying that looked like real flamenco. When Miss J is literally seated the entire time.
Not doing any arms. But I think the photo's like not bad.
No, I think it's pretty good.
It's one of the best of these five.
Yeah.
My man is next.
There had to be better photos, right?
She was doing so much motion.
Yeah, Tyra picked this to make a point.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When there were clearly better photos.
Because, like I said, the light is not right on this photo.
Mm-hmm.
So this is her test photo for the lighting. And Tyra took this just to make this whole speech about how a model always has to be modeling. But I'm like, I hope Mame doesn't get land in the bottom too.
But also, Mame, this looks like a test shot.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And she looks gorgeous because she's a beautiful human.
She's a beautiful person, and the dress is beautiful, but it's not a photo. Like, she...
No,
she was just doing so much.
She must have had better shots. I figured this was the part, Lex, where you rage blacked out.
Oh my God.
Because Kelly talks about a character being her favorite and doesn't get the name right one time.
This is literally, the original is like my favorite character from Disney. Mm-hmm.
I know this about you.
And it makes me so fucking angry that Kelly, like, this is all in service of a pun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But also, this doesn't look like Maleficent at all.
No.
Not a single thing about it.
It looks Evil Queen adjacent.
Yeah. High shoulder, I guess.
I think of all black, and I think of horns.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Purple. Green.
Mm-hmm. Way more extreme makeup.
This is Stunned Woman in the Woods.
I love the tale of the stunned woman.
I do love that color.
The color is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, all these outfits
do. But she's just standing there looking not at the camera because she didn't know where the camera was, and the light was not correct for her skin. It is mind-boggling that they would use this photo.
I'd be so pissed if I were Mame. It's like, this is the one that's going in my book.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she took what we saw, some pretty great photos where she did what Tyra told her to do.
And was lit correctly.
Niall is next.
I'm going to say something that I don't know if the two of you are going to agree with or not, because I've been so on the fence about most of Niall's portfolio. I think this is great. I love this. I love seeing a different angle on his face. I feel like I just like this. I think that he looks great in this.
I think his face is gorgeous. I think once again, the blue, that's a great blue.
Yeah.
I just wish his arms had been a little more deliberate.
This is very just, this is, and I don't blame him. This is, okay, I'm doing
it. I think he's putting everything in his face.
Yes.
Because he doesn't know when the photo is being taken.
I agree.
But that being said, similar to Lacey's, I see a moment happening where it's like, poof.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Like he's just about to turn into a bat.
If it had been bat. Even more bat-like.
Yeah.
I would have been
it
more
It needed to be
it.
Out a little, it, down.
But his face is gorgeous.
His face is gorgeous.
True. I mean, honestly, this is one of my favorite Niall ones.
Well, I'm so glad he swears at the judges.
Yeah.
Good.
When Kelly tries to like gotcha him and imply that it's his fault that he didn't do well in this.
But here's the semantics thing too. Because Kelly demands that Niall out loud admits that this wasn't his best shot. And then cuts him off as soon as he starts trying to explain more. Because he says the correct thing to Kelly, which is no. But then, what do you mean by this is not his best shot? Because this was the thing that the show and ergo Tyra chose as his best shot. So what you're actually saying is you have to admit you didn't do well.
Right.
Which he doesn't want to admit because he did as good as he could do.
Yep.
I didn't like that at all because it also just didn't make sense for her to say that to any contestant.
Any contestant. No. And why are you trying to gotcha him? Because you're trying to save the show?
Yeah. Skin? I think that's 100% what
but
it is.
But why is she
but
so
why?
Invested?
Why are you so invested in this? Yeah.
I think Kelly at some point took some ownership over America's Next Top Model because now she's been on the show for such a long time.
Yeah. True.
But him just saying everything was really fucked for me right good. To their face. I was good. So good, glad for him.
And I appreciate what a great interpreter he has in Ramon also. I think their relationship is like, they don't talk about it explicitly on the show, but I feel like you can see over the weeks how they become a stronger unit in a really interesting way.
They have
a
chemistry with each other.
Yeah.
And Kelly's fucking story, on top of everything, of Elvis, vampire, Michael Jackson,
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
What in these clothes would give him that?
Mikey's next. This is the same fucking
same face.
Photo.
Yep.
And then Tyra explains why she couldn't be a successful music singer because she doesn't understand how music works.
Here's the thing. If this were the first picture I ever saw of Mikey, I would be like, wow,
stunning.
This guy has something.
Yep. Sure.
Because this is what you would hire Mikey for. The clothes suit him, especially with like the Vikingish hair.
Yes.
And I think the composition of this shot as a shot works.
Yes, I agree.
He has never made a different face in this entire competition.
Or body, really.
He just stands there.
He stands or sits, looks straight to camera.
Head slightly
parts
down.
His lips.
Mm-hmm. So it might be his best photo.
Maybe.
But it's still exactly the same as every other photo.
And then Tyra, weirdly, tells Mikey that she didn't believe in him. And Kelly's like, I did, rock and roll. And then weirdly, Miss J is like, me as well.
I thought that was Miss J calling out Kelly.
I hung out with Miss J calling out Kelly, too.
But I love that Tara's like, you know what, Mikey? I thought you were trash.
I mean, she did tell him that he looked like he didn't pay his bills.
Did Tara just never really like Mikey? Was this truly someone that Kelly
was
keeping on the show?
But was sort of attracted to him?
I think she was attracted to him and was a little annoyed by it.
Maybe.
It was maybe one weird, clear-headed thing Tyra thought.
Yeah.
But yes, I need to once again say, Tyra explains that in order to be music, you need to have every beat. Have either of you seen the TikTok of two professional violinists trying to follow Bradley Cooper's impression?
Bernstein.
Of Bernstein's conduction, where that whole thing where he's like, I studied for years and I made sure, and they're
we
like
did 3-hour continuous takes,
and so they like play it and they start counting and they're like, and one and one and one and one and one and one. That's Tyra's idea of what music is, not like da 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 da. Tyra's like, you need to be always on every picture, that's music, Mikey. It's like,
there was someone on TikTok who took clips from like shows with brass instruments like saxophones, trumpets, trombones, and it would play what it was. And apparently, if I remember correctly, Lisa on The Simpsons is the most animated accurately, which makes me happy.
I want to see this. If you can find that link.
Yeah, I'll try to find
them
again. But then there's some others where people are just like, where it sounds glorious. It was like,
Well, trombone in general is always going to be that way. There was a game that came out this past year called Trombone Hero. It's like Guitar Hero, but for trombone.
Oh, I saw a clip of this.
And it's like... Trombone Hero. Great. Amazing. Devin is next. I'm going to say something that's going to sound like I don't like this photo. This looks AI generated to me.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I see it.
But I think it is so much better than the other two men. For me, I know you like Niall's photo. This is like...
I will say this. Devin's definitely... Devin, honestly, might have been my number one call.
I think it's the best picture.
Because also, I hate that you can't see as much of the dimension because the clothing is very monochromatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I look at the legs. This like sassy little like crossed leg stance. This to me is kind of it.
Yeah, I think he looks great in these clothes.
And Kelly is so combative.
Why?
I don't know. She comes off so inappropriate.
Yeah.
And I think it's because he handles her so well.
Mm-hmm. I adore that Devin has started every week reminding Kelly of the feedback that he got last week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was like, well, I was told to like relax the face, do this, that, and the other. And she's like, well, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, but did I do that? I'm like, whoo, 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 whoo. He like basically does it so well that later Tyra has to admit it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
He creates a narrative that Tyra has to say while he's being eliminated.
And then Kelly's like, well, this just looks like a man walked out of the woods in the 90s.
What took a ride on a tree in 1992.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, my impression of this, because of the sameness, I would have gotten rid of Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's not the
Mikey
worst.
And Mame had the two worst photos, but Mame's isn't her fault.
That's the problem, is that like I think Mame had the worst photo, but they didn't pick her best photo and told us that.
Yes.
So this is such a weird thing because I actually think most of these turned out pretty well despite themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it actually makes the top five look good, but then you definitely got rid of what I think is at least top two.
This is literally my top photo.
Yeah.
And he did relax his face, and there's no fingers in his mouth, and he is selling the clothes that I think were the hardest to sell.
It looks a little bit to me like a promo for some kind of supernatural Sherlock show.
Sure.
I see that.
But I'm not mad about that.
Yeah.
And it's his lighting makes it look like there is an alien that has just landed behind him.
Yeah, why does he have this weird backlighting?
Don't know.
I think they had to do that because of the fact that all the clothing was black.
Yeah. But where his in particular is placed, it looks like it's concentrated on a specific area.
Yeah. So, yeah. Call out order. Mikey is first.
Well, would have been my worst for sure.
At least he wasn't everyone's top score. At least Miss J had some sense.
Then Mame. Then Lacey. Leaving Niall v. Devin.
I honestly never knew that Niall made the bottom two.
You know what? You know what's really funny? I think I would have had the scores for the first time ever the exact opposite order.
Oh my gosh.
Just for the photos.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Devin number one, Niall number two, Lacey in the middle, Mikey and Mame on the bottom.
I might have switched Lacey and Niall, but yeah, it's basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
But that is so funny. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Devin. You're frustrating for judges. Niall. Mikey?
Literally. Niall, doing so well this whole competition. But now Niall, slipping.
Mikey over there, better? Question mark?
Well, then the scores are not close.
No.
No. It's so funny because Mikey ultimately gets a 37.5, but Mame, Lacey, and Niall all get 33 to 34. So all of them were the same. There was a clear... bottom person, and unfortunately it was Devin, and a big part of that was that Kelly gave him a 6.7.
I was curious.
I gotta spit those grapes out because they are so sour.
I looked because I was interested if that was the lowest score we'd received this season.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, because when Ashley was sent home she got 2.6.
I was about to say Ashley from the comeback episode,
and Courtney got a 6 from Kelly when she went home.
Wow.
Wow.
Wait, was it always Kelly that gave the lowest?
No, Kelly. Oh. It was Jay and Tyra gave Ashley 6.5s, and then, but it was Kelly who gave her a 6. And then, weirdly, once again, Tyra and Jay gave the same score of 6.9.
Nice.
It's so funny because, but famously, the lowest score ever, 1 for Lennox. What's funny about this, though, is that Tyra individually would have sent Lacey home.
Yeah, which is weird because the photo is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely just fine.
Yeah.
It's third. It's third, no matter third. Which way. Yeah. And then Devin's, "So I got cut," is so heartbreaking.
Right before we get to that, when Niall has to stand there and receive the Tyra spiel, you can tell how angry he is because he doesn't even want to look at her. Because normally I think Niall makes a concerted effort to
look back.
Look back. And you can just see he does not even want to look at the panel right now.
Well, would you, when you say every millimeter of your body?
Well, I don't know how he got through the judging without flipping out.
Yeah. And he gives us a disenchanted thank you.
Which almost it gave fuck you energy. I realize it's a different sign, but there was a real like a curtness about the sign.
And then Tyra telling Devin, "But you discovered something. That's not your face."
What are you talking about? She's also said face about 30 million times in the span of this sentence.
Yes.
And again, it's so sad. He's crying so much. And he's just like, oh.
It is sad. But then for some reason, the editors stitch in talking from when he first got to the model house.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
It was odd.
It was so weird.
So strange.
So Devin L.J. Clark, a rare person who was on a TV show prior to Top Model, because he was on a reality series called Chef Roble and Company that was about Chef Roble's catering team. He was a star of that show. After the show, he signed with Next Models in Miami. He was in Elements! Elegant! Rough UK, Barbados Today, Spindle, Chabot, Mandrawn, and Vogue Brazil. And he's modeled for the Ushiai Ibiza Summer 2016 collection. Now, just a year after the show, he announced his retirement from modeling so that he could start his own agency called, one word, I Am Model Management.
Like, I am the
IMG.
Since 2018, he's worked as an entertainer for the Walt Disney Company, and that seems to still be the current job according to the LinkedIn profile, and it seems like a lot of the time he plays Prince Naveen.
Okay. So fake character.
His Instagram is Devin LJ Clark, and he has about 100,000 followers. The bio is wild. It's fashion model, scouted by Tyra Banks. Godson of Aaliyah.
What?
Management Disney.
Wait.
He talks about Aaliyah a lot. Like, literally the most recent
the singer Aaliyah.
Yep.
What?
It's the most recent 2 posts on the grid. He hasn't posted since about 2021. But a lot of the current stuff you will find that Devin was posting about was anniversaries of certain albums and being so proud of Aaliyah.
Is it true?
I mean, he's tagged her a lot. You would think at some point.
Well, she can't untag herself, can she?
So I want to be clear that I also don't know what he's really currently up to besides Walt Disney. Because it seems like there was an off the social media push in 2021. But yeah. That's Devin. I gotta say, Devin was a great character for the show.
Yes.
And yes. Devin got way better near the end.
Yes.
Like you said, as soon as he was out from under the clutches of Mikey, he got a lot better.
Absolutely.
He was also a better model than I remembered, which helped a lot.
Again, I think if we just looked at everyone on this cycle's portfolios, Devin would still be in my top couple.
Yeah.
Some of those early photos especially were great, and I loved this one.
Y'all, I need to point
At the end of the day, if he didn't ever have to be like in motion.
That's his Elements cover.
Oh my gosh. Can you believe that Elements magazine exists? Let me say this. Elements, if anyone out there works for Elements, I want to talk, because why did you have your clutches so far into Top Model?
Ass.
You know what else is also funny? He seems to do a lot of pigmented contact work.
No, he has hazel eyes. It's just yellow.
Blue. He's got...
The irony.
He's got beige eyes.
That's not a real person, Hannah. That is an AI-generated image.
He's got beige eyes.
Ooh, we've got second episode energy.
Yeah, I found Devin frustrating.
Yeah.
Because I do think he took some good photos. He just was, I would never, ever, ever, ever want to be in a room with Devin.
Yeah. No, I totally get that.
If he could channel himself, he has a lot of capabilities. But yeah,
it was fun to talk about.
To choose exhaustion more than anything else.
I mean, I loved hearing about his acting company or whatever.
There was so much character, and every so often he had a talking head that just hit hard.
And look, I will always like Devin could have done a lot worse on the show, and for that moment with Mikey. I would have forgiven him so much.
I would say between that moment with Mikey and the way he disabled Kelly, you have to, like, you are a special person.
I have to.
Even though a lot of it, I think, was propelled by and fueled by delusion. Yeah.
I mean, again, this last two episodes that I was fully on Team Devin for a lot of it. I would have been happy with Devin being a weird third place.
Yes.
Finish or something at this point.
Right.
Our classic third place gay.
Seriously, though. You know what's interesting is we rarely got discussions of Devin's sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just assumed.
Well, because the show... Yeah, it is assumed because we truly don't know. And that is their business to talk about as much as they want. But it felt like they wanted Devin to be the Will, the Corey, that slot in the male contestants.
But if we're your slot in podcasts, pod slots, pod slots, slot casts, you can...
All hashtags that you should use.
You can rate, review... and slot in to this podcast.
Oh, you've broken Ginsburg.
I'm a real pod slot. I'm a slot for pods.
I'm taking the word back. It's ours again. Pod slot. Right.
I'm a pod slot.
In my slot.
I'm a pod slot, but I slot cast.
Aww.
You can rate, review, and subscribe.
Podify for slot casters.
And if you want more energy like this, you can send us an email. You can send us medication through the mail.
Through the mail.
At our P.O. box. That's probably legal.
Yeah, and loose medication in the mail feels right.
The Comstock Act isn't a thing.
Ew, the what?
That's needlessly political at the end of a second episode.
I thought he said a spicy word.
Gum suck?
Yeah, I thought that's what you sound like. Excuse me.
What just came out of your pod slot?
You can find me slot casting anywhere at Yet Charming.
We're really going to figure out the people who only do like a 98% consumption of the episode, because people are going to be like, hashtag pod slot. I'm like, what are they talking about?
I'm a real pod slot for Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And you can find me on Instagram podding, slotting.
Slot. Crap. And be sure to use the hashtag pod slot and slot cast. And Podlitum, we know the true listeners. And
said our names, Lex. Hannah's gotta say goodbye.
So for Podlitum, I have been...
said our names.
We didn't.
We did not.
No,
we didn't.
Great.
We got an outro.
Yeah,
I thought we did.
So for Podlitum, I've been Lex Basile Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm J.W. Crump.
And I'll see you Pod slot.
Podlitum is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.